The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. Please turn to page 92 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. Allow me to read the words. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodia, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Amen. The 7th century Baroque painter Peter Paul Rubens' painting called The Massacre of the Innocents depicts and reveals a truth about an era in the work. Herod, the king of Judea, attempts to kill the Messiah upon hearing from the three wise men that he was born, but fails. Later, he commits the scene of the massacre of killing of the toddlers in his artwork. Now, the painting consists of the scene where on the floor the small young toddlers are lying dead and bleeding. In the center of the canvas are four muscular soldiers or bare-breasted women and children who are about to face death in front of them. These four soldiers were all depicted in different ways. The soldier on the right is holding a child high up in his arm, ready to throw this child. And the soldier next to him is trying to take away a child from a woman, resisting him from doing so. Another is about to stab a woman who is a hindrance to him. The man in the left with the uniform and helmet has snatched hairs of two women holding onto their babies in each of his hand.
King Herod's period seemed like such an abundant time on the surface. The architecture represented by the city, amphitheaters, and theaters constructed in Greek styles seemed to speak for its culture and its richness. Herod's temple, which its construction continued even after Herod's death, is another historical relic. Moreover, he was acknowledged for making friendly relations with the Roman government and the Jewish people during his reign. And yet, the hidden dark side of the seemingly bright era of Herod all became bare in Rubens's painting. Behind his great achievements were the massacre of the innocents. He was never hesitant to do anything it takes to protect himself from everything and anything that crossed or threatened his reign. There is a clear record of Herod's story of killing his own wife, Miriam, and his own two sons. Rubens exposes through his single painting that Herod and his period was nothing but a mere illusion. No matter how bright the culture and prosperous the city were in that period of death, in which toddlers and their mothers the weakest beings, had to be slaughtered for preserving one's throne. It only shows the truth about the human's greed and nothing more. In the years of Herod Antipas, who succeeded after King Herod and became Tetrarch of Galilee and Perea, John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance in the wilderness. Luke, the author of the Book of Luke, paid attention to the fact that John's repentance was not just another abstract slogan, unlike other authors of the Gospel. John's words, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, was a demand asking the listeners for a definite change in their lives. Those with two shirts had to spare a shirt to those who did not have any. Those who had plenty to eat also had to share food with those who didn't. Food, clothing, and shelter, these three are the most basic elements of life. Getting dressed and eating is a routine of life for any human. John told people who came to see him that they should look again into their daily lives. Repentance, in the biblical sense, means that there needs to be change overall. It is natural and free for people to think and want more than two or three clothings. And John tells in reverse that those with two shirts should spare one with those who don't. And in order to do so, one needs to change his or her mind of wanting more than two or three shirts. And they should be ashamed of the clothes filled up in their closets. They should bring the clothes out from the closet and let them go. Let them go not to the clothing bin, but to those who are without anything to wear. They have been living, ignoring the reality that there are people living without anything to wear, but now they need to face the fact that there are those who die because they have nothing to wear. How uncomfortable would that be? How transforming is to defy everything against the comfortable lives that we've been living in until now. The repentance that John had been preaching about was to change our lives that were centered on ourselves, based on desires, to one that is centered on everyone together. But even if we do change our me-centered life into us-centered, neighbor-centered lives, how long would this last? The city that I live in comes to resemble the architecture in Herod's period. And in that city, the transformation that John the Baptist had been crying out for seems very small and less vivid. This was something that could not be seen in the eyes, and yet we need to repeat and live on, changing our lives. Luke chapter 3, verse 9. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. an axe is a tool to chop trees. So the metaphor of axe at the root of the trees tells us that the chopping will start anytime soon. Axe at the root of the trees was an awareness of the reality for John the Baptist. This was a different perception of realization from Herod's worldly value of striving to grow and succeed like there is no axe. The time when axe is put at the root of the trees is when everything becomes clear. Things that will disappear or be left behind, vain or meaningful, all will become obvious. Just as it is no use, no matter how good of sap or leaves a tree that will be chopped by an axe might have, the life that should be pursued by all those who would eventually be judged before God was not about possessing or accumulating according to desire. We were finally able to stop the desires in our hearts before the metaphor of an axe at the root of a tree. Before the metaphor of an axe placed at the root of the tree, were we able to stop running our lives based on desire? We were able to lose the illusions and bear fruits to share with others who didn't have anything. Of course, not all the crowd, tax collectors and the soldiers that have gathered and heard of John's preaching would have followed his teachings, because their lives were based in the city that Herod ruled in. John's way of life made a great difference in that city. And John steps a step further. He not only asked for repentance to the world, he also asked repentance to Herod. Verse 19 of today's text. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, John the Baptist specifically pointed out that Herod Antipas, the successor of King Herod, had done and rebuked him. The Greek verb for rebuke, alenko, means to reveal or to expose. John, who exposed the evil things that the ruler had committed, which everyone free to do so, points out Herod Antipas's taking his brother's wife, Herodias. The Tetrarch in today's passage, Herod Antipas, had a half-brother, Herod Philip. And Herod Philip's wife was Herodias. Herod Antipas married his half-brother, Herod Philip's wife, Herodias, and later took Philip's position with her support. And this was an open secret of the time. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 16, it says, "Do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife. That would dishonor your brother." But the flame of desire inside Herod Antipas makes him have relationship with his half-brother's wife. So eventually, Herod's wife and his half-brother, Herod Philip, loses their position in life due to Herod Antipas. John's words of rebuking the ruler of Judea for living a completely different life from the commandments by deserting his first wife and having relationship with his brother's wife were a political threat and burden to Herod Antipas. And Herod Antipas locked John up in prison, who rebuked, revealed, and exposed everything he had done. Verse 20 of today's passage. Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. John was a hindrance to Herod Antipas because John kept crying out for repentance and change of life, especially towards Herod, who was living on a path of desire. In Matthew's, it testifies that Herod Antipas gave John's head on a platter as a gift to Salome, Herodias' daughter, after seeing her dance. Herod Antipas' era of giving a person's head on a platter as a gift is a legacy of the era of death that his father had made. And this was an era of darkness and unfortune. Herod Antipas killed John the Baptist, who revealed and exposed his truth in the most brutal way that he could. If John the Baptist was a being that played a role as an exposer and revealer, Herod Antipas played the role of locking up the revealer. John the Baptist died brutally. However, Herod Antipas's ruling continued on. The scale, the power, the method, everything just made Herod Antipas seem very strong. Let us visualize the society that when Herod Antipas was a tetrarch, people would not have been able to openly talk about about Herod Antipas. If anyone talked openly about the king, then he or she would have been charged with even more faults and be sent to prison. So those who lived under such ruler can only stick to helplessness under repetitive and cowardly politics. The world ruled by Herod, the country ruled by Herod, families ruled by Herod, and community ruled by Herod still moans today ever since. As long as the truth is ignored and locked up in prison, and as long as many dedicate their lives to pursue illusion. The world of Herod will never stop moaning. Even after John the Baptist was killed in the hands of Herod Antipas, Luke did not think that his death ended the story. Luke deliberately inserts the scene of which Jesus received baptism right after John's imprisonment to say that the imprisonment and death of John the Baptist was not a failure in fact. Verse 21 of today's passage. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. It is recorded in the gospel, like in other gospels as well, that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And yet the reason why Luke recorded the events in a different order was to show that John the Baptist's death was not a vain disappearing, but to show that it was a way to prepare the path for Jesus, the true light. Jesus, who started his public life after John's death, cries out as follows in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." In the time of Herod, and by Herod Antipas, John the Baptist was killed. But John's cry out of telling people to repent because the kingdom of heaven is near was once again declared on land through Jesus. The life that defies the way of Herod, the life that starts from deep within, begins within Jesus Christ. Luke tells us that John the Baptist's imprisonment and death was not a vain failure to Herod, but it became and it ended as a true victory in Jesus Christ. Today's passage shows the reality of the time. Through how Herod Antipas locked John the Baptist up in prison. John the Baptist is a being that reveals the truth. He reveals the truth of life based on desire. And the truth of the time drunken in the fantasy that it will go on forever. King Herod slaughtered toddlers, and Herod Antipas imprisoned John the Baptist and killed him. The Pharisees and the elders killed Jesus. Tetrarch Herod. There are more than one Tetrarch or Herod in today's world. We may all become Herod in this society where consumption and desire has become the foundation. But God's arm, which is never too short, will always send John the Baptist in various ways for us and reveal and rebuke the ways of our lives that have become much like Herod's. We have gathered here generally because we believe in Jesus, but we are in a community who all have different roles in lives, and more importantly, we are in a community of sinners. This is why church is a great place to face our true selves that feel to feel uncomfortable between others who are different from me. The church will serve the role of John the Baptist, who reveals everything. So a true faith is not locking up John the Baptist, which God has sent to us, that will reveal the Herod inside me. Only then will our lives, moaning from desires and uncomfortableness from our revealings, be comforted inside Jesus Christ. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, which we think of our Lord who died for me and repent. Herod will always tell us to live according to our desires and lock up John the Baptist, even today. He will tell us to live dreaming of tomorrow, that there is no axe at the root of the tree. But we should pray that we all become those who do not lock up John the Baptist. Let us pray. Dear God, we look back to the Herod inside us on this third Sunday of Lent, when we think of our Lord who died for me and repent. God, who has a long arm, kept on sending John the Baptist into our lives, revealing the meaning of our lives, and made us face our sins. But we very easily locked John up in prison for making us feel uncomfortable by revealing the truth. God, you have approached me in many ways at work, at church, in district, and then in our families, allegorizing or revealing my truth, but we often locked John the Baptist up in prison, judging and stipulating with different social standards for being different from us. And it was familiar to do so. Lord, in this term of repentance, let us stay and live before God's revealing. Let us face ourselves that we wish to avoid, our sinful selves, as John the Baptist had said, and allow us the grace of being hurt, being able to be hurt. Repent and look back on ourselves. Allow us the grace of being hurt, receiving repentance, and looking back inside the community, in our lives, and in this church, and in this land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.